The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With Nissan's big electric switch. Scrappage is now available on your old car when you switch to a 100% electric Nissan Leaf.
It's the Hard Shoulder. It's Mark Agnew in for Ivan Yates. Good evening to you. Now, China has said that the coronavirus could mutate. It's a further warning as the SARS-like virus has killed 9 people and infected around 440 and spread to other countries. It has caused alarm because it's similar to SARS, which killed nearly 650 people across China and Hong Kong in 2002 and 2003. Dr. Kunal Patel is a consulting physician at the Tropical Medical Bureau and he joins me now to explain. Good afternoon, Dr. Patel. Thank you very much for taking the time. Okay, let's start with kind of the ladybird version of this. What do we know about this virus?
Okay, so to be very clear, interestingly, we've had quite a bit of information come since of last year when there were initial reports of cases back in 31st of December from China, from Wuhan City in Hubei province, about this virus and respiratory illness. And we weren't too sure what's going on. And it's now come to a head where this week the number of cases seems to have increased dramatically in terms of reports. And we're now seeing a number, only 2 days reported as 278, jumped to over 400 cases. And so we are certainly wary in the health sector about this, and we're looking this week to see what happens. For example, the WHO will be hopefully releasing a new statement this afternoon in regard to the current outbreak.
Okay, where has this come from? It comes from animals originally, yes?
Yeah, so it's interesting. So it's been identified as a coronavirus. Initially, we weren't too sure what was going on. And coronaviruses are quite common. You know, there's various types. And yet some of them do cross from animal or zoonotic hosts. A good example, as you said, is SARS. And then one in the Middle East, Middle Eastern Respiratory Syndrome. And when this happens, we then determine them as novel coronaviruses because we've never seen them in human cases before. And it certainly seems to be the case that the initial understanding that this one in China may have come from initial transfer from an animal host to a human host.
Okay, and there's also a story that it came from a food or fish or poultry market which was operating in an unregulated or illegal fashion.
I mean, I think that's quite hard to determine as of yet. Initially, when the findings and the data was coming out, it was felt that it was coming secondary to a wholesale seafood market within the city. However, since they closed the market at the beginning of January, more cases have been identified, suggesting that it's actually more person-to-person spread. However, that doesn't take away the fact from factors such as urbanization, increased population around markets where there's increased contact with live and dead animals. That certainly still does increase risk of viruses transferring from animal host to human host.
Okay, right. We'll say it came from this market in the first place, and obviously the people handling these animals would come in contact with customers or other people, and you can see how it would go from the animal to them and then from those on to the wider public. Do we have any idea how quickly it spreads, or do you have to be, say, for example, elderly or young or vulnerable to be prone to this?
Respiratory illnesses, which this seems to be the mode at which it spreads, can affect anyone of any age. Of course, if you have a long-term chronic disease or if you're elderly, you're going to be more vulnerable to the severe effects of a viral illness. And therefore, monitoring becomes very important. In the same way that when we commonly talk about flu, those that get impacted by flu virus the most are commonly children, those with long chronic disease, or the elderly. And so the impact would be exactly the same. Now, in terms of spread, age and the people who are affected, it doesn't discriminate. You know, what we're seeing now that it's likely to be person-to-person spread, as I said, and as you can see from the emerging cases that we're seeing in other countries, travel is obviously having a huge impact on this.
Well, there's just been a case announced in America, in Seattle, and it was a young, healthy male in his 30s. What is the possibility, and I don't want to, I'm not going for a sensationalist line here or anything like that, what is the possibility of this getting to epidemic levels? I mean, it's a city of 8.9 million people, which is twice the population of this country. It's not a vast territory. They want to keep it contained in there. But you would imagine in that scenario that it could run through the population very quickly.
No, and I understand where that comes from, of course. But I think we have to be very aware now that public health bodies like the WHO, public health bodies within the countries, including China, are much more prepared than we were 10 years ago, or even more than 10 years ago. You mentioned the SARS epidemic back in 2002, 2003. The numbers affected was huge, but preparation now is much, much better, and you can see that in the response this week. For example, the nearest hub to Ireland would be the UK in terms of travel from Wuhan, and Public Health England have released a statement today saying that the airports are on alert and they are starting monitoring. And as is the case, obviously, in China now, they're monitoring people going in and out of the city from big public transport.
Well, the Koreans have basically shut their borders to them, haven't they?
Well, from what we understand, it's certainly been the airports. There's been no official international travel bans from what we've seen. And I suppose this is, again, coming to the point where it's like, let's look at what the actual recommendations are going to be from the larger international public health bodies like the World Health Organization and the CDC.
Is there any sort of inoculation or whatever that can be taken by people? I mean, you now know what the strain is, so can something be done to prevent?
Unfortunately, there is no vaccine, and even with other coronaviruses, there's still been no vaccine developed because, as you touched on at the very beginning, there is the possibility of mutation and change, and that makes it very difficult to develop a vaccine that can target the particular virus. Majority of viral illnesses, in most cases, we fight them off and they go away. However, it is those, as I mentioned before, that are potentially more vulnerable where it becomes a real problem. And so at the moment, it's still very early days in terms of developing a vaccine, but there is supportive treatment, and supportive treatment would happen in the hospitals and clinical settings to help sure that the patients can hopefully fight the virus off and improve and recover.
Well, I mean, look, it's highly unlikely that we're going to get it here. Although we do have a sizable Chinese population who may indeed have relatives or originate in the Wuhan area. So you don't know if somebody has been over there and is traveling back and all the rest of it. But highly unlikely that we're going to have a problem with it here.
No, I would agree with that. The HSC, as I said, Public Health England, and other bodies who are closely looking at this are putting out guidance now to all clinicians. And basically to the public as well. And as long as we ensure that communication is done correctly and safely, including advice such as seeking medical care straight away, if you've traveled from Wuhan or if you've known anyone who's traveled from Wuhan, to seek medical care straight away,
okay,
to avoid contact with others and so on.
And if you show any signs, which would include respiratory symptoms, fever, cough, shortness of breath and breathing difficulties, go to a doctor immediately.
Absolutely.
Okay, Dr. Kunal Patel, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.